Yes, you're listening to Monday's edition of World Football Daily here on the show. It was a fantastic weekend of football throughout Europe. Once again, action all over the place. But one of the biggest stories to come out of the European football, club football this weekend, Barcelona finally beaten. All eyes were on La Liga on Saturday. And then Real Madrid spanked 5 past Valencia on Sunday. The man who's going to take us through all the stories coming out of Spanish football today is Mr. Joseph Sexton joining us on the line right now. Joseph, first and foremost, before we get into any football questions, how are you, mate? How are things?
I'm doing very well, Juice. How about you?
I'm very well indeed, my man. Very well indeed. It's a bit peculiar. I don't want to start in Spain when we talk to you today. I want to talk about Southampton. We don't often like mix it up this much, kind of like this, Joseph, but Mauricio Pochettino, hired by Southampton as their new manager after they removed Nigel Adkins, even though he got that draw against Stamford Bridge. First and foremost, what can the Southampton fans expect now from their side with Pochettino up at the helm?
I think what they can expect is a very rigorous coach with a very clear playing philosophy. Pochettino, I suppose, there's an element of, you know, the Bielsa strand, which seems to run through so many coaches these days. But it's important in his case when you consider that he didn't just play under Bielsa in the Argentine national team. He also started his club career out at Newell's Old Boys, who, of course, were managed by Bielsa at the time. So while the two men have a temperament that have temperaments that are poles apart, because Pochettino is very, very understated, very level-headed, very measured, let's say. There's definitely a shared emphasis in philosophy. They like to press high up the field. They like to play in the other team's half. He's probably got less of a penchant for playing three at the back than Bielsa, but you know, there's broad outlines there that you can certainly tie into that. But also, I guess, something which you can tie into the larger culture of football within Spain itself, because you know, he's been there so long now that although you can't fail to notice from his accent at times that he's an Argentinian, he almost sounds like a Spaniard these days.
Pochettino is obviously the former Espanyol manager, Joseph. What do you make of what he did with Espanyol under very difficult situations indeed? Is this a positive signing in terms of his history as a manager?
I think so. I think he did fantastic work at Espanyol, and you know, I've said that on the show before. I think one concern that I've seen mentioned by Southampton fans who've either come back to me on Twitter or commented on an article they wrote in the Southern Daily Echo, they see, you know, I stress the fact that one of the problems that Pochettino had to deal with was that the club were selling their best players every transfer window, probably going back about 3 years now, bringing in loan players, forcing him to bring in, at times, young players who perhaps weren't quite ready for first-team football. And there's a feeling with some of the Southampton fans that, oh God, this is what he's been brought in to do, you know? No, I don't think that's the case at all. I think that's, you know, knee-jerk. But it's certainly something that, I would say, made the conditions of his job intolerable towards the end. I think the summer that went by, I mean, if we cut back to the last few seasons, they at times weren't far off the Champions League places, but they were generally, you know, a solid mid-table side, and it is a very tight league in Spain. So when you say a team finishes 8th one year or 14th the next year, you could be talking a difference of, you know, 4 or 5 points. It's that kind of a league. So, you know, absolute positions can be a bit misleading. I think where matters started to go wrong for him with Espanyol this season, I think it was absolutely outside of his control. Again, players were sold. They lost some excellent loan players they had, particularly a couple of players they had from Inter Milan. And they also started the season with, I'm trying to remember the exact figure, but I did write about this at the time. And, you know, if you're talking maybe players from the first 22 or first 25 of the squad, you're talking 8 to 10 players, and about 4 or 5 of those would have been regular starters. So you can understand why they had a bad start to the season, but, you know, also, there were other matters. You know, there was, for sure, there were some bad performances. There's no escaping that. But there was a lot of bad luck too. Another bugbear of mine in Spain this season is we've seen a spate of idiotic sendings off. Idiotic in terms of the referee's actions, but also idiotic in terms of the directives that they've been asked to enforce this season. Also, some of them were just foolish sendings off by Espanyol players. But you had the feeling towards the end of his time that the players felt that everything was going against them. It didn't matter how well they'd play, something would conspire against them. You know, be it last-minute penalties, be it red cards when they were leading games. And, you know, it's fair to say as well that the injury list hadn't cleared at the time that he left the club. And I think you have to take that into account when, where you consider where things went wrong. And aside from that, there was major political turmoil off the field. The entire board resigned in October. And it's never been really quite confirmed whether he was pushed or whether he walked. It depends on who you read. But I think he'd grown disillusioned with the job. And I think he'd taken that club as far as he could, and it was probably the right time for him to leave.
Joseph, there are people though that will kind of highlight the fact that since Pochettino left Espanyol, they've only lost one game in La Liga, and people might pick up on that. You mentioned how tight La Liga is and the various injury problems and stuff, but there still will be those critics. How does Pochettino need to answer those critics straight away?
I think he does, and I think there's one thing we need to take into account about the recent upswing at Espanyol. Well, there's probably a couple of things. One was that I would say in the last month of Pochettino's tenure, the performances were a lot better. More and more of the players were starting to come back. Yes, there were still defeats. I think of the Valencia one with a red card. With a red card and a last minute penalty, which would have been a really significant result had they got it. And then I think you have to look at, again, the fact that the injuries have cleared up. A very key man has returned. He was injured and then suspended for insulting a referee, so a lengthy suspension there. But that's Sergio Garcia, their main centre forward. Then, on the other hand, you have to look at the man who came in and replaced him, and that's Javier Aguirre, the former Mexico coach. Did less well at Atletico Madrid, but he's a firefighter. He's a man who's got a reputation of coming into struggling clubs and turning things around. And I think I think you have to take all these things into account. And it does seem that although we've seen very few managerial casualties in Spain this year, I don't always believe in the new manager bounce. I think it happens, but there's plenty of examples where it doesn't happen. It just seems to have happened in Spain this season that with all the clubs who've changed managers, they've had an upswing in form. But I don't think that necessarily should reflect badly on the work that Pochettino was doing.
Well, do you think Pochettino is going to be a saving grace for Southampton? Do you think this is the right move that they've made, getting rid of Adkins and bringing him in?
On the Adkins issue, I mean, this is one that is going to divide opinion all over the place. I can't help but feel the man was harshly done by. I mean, we all know that they had a really difficult start to the season, but let's face it, they also had some really difficult fixtures. And let's not forget the performance they put in against Manchester United, where, you know, they really deserved something out of that game. But he had engineered a good run. I think they only lost two of their last 12 games. So it is harsh. And I think perhaps this is my reading of the situation. And based on what I know and based on my own intuition, I think that the Southampton board were also looking perhaps longer term towards the future. What direction do they want the club to take? And I think perhaps maybe 6 weeks ago, maybe 2 months, 3 months ago, they were looking at other options. And as you said, he wasn't sacked after a defeat. He was sacked, you know, off the back of some decent results. And I just think they were looking to the future, and I think they saw something in Pochettino. And there is one aspect where I think this could be a potentially fantastic move for both parties. It's the whole area of youth development. because youth development is so central to Espanyol's structure, where Mauricio Pochettino spent so much time as a player and as a manager. And he even made his own tweaks at our youth system there, which people within the club regard very highly. How he improved an already very successful youth setup. And what are Southampton known for over the last 10, 15 years, or if we want to even go back further to the Wallace brothers, it's nothing if not being able to generate good young players, bring young players through. And in that sense, I think it's a good move. Where I think there may be difficulties with this move is that he's a coach that, you know, he loves pressing, and pressing takes a lot of work, a lot of organization, a lot of hours on the training ground to get players accustomed to how to press, when to press, what position to take up when you don't have the ball. And I think that work is best done in pre-season. And of course, you know, this is not pre-season, and there's no winter break. I think that could be a difficulty. The other difficulty, although I do have a very high opinion of Pochettino, and I do think that potentially going forward, he could prove to be a fantastic manager. I wonder, because he's only had one job, and it's at a club that he was already intimately involved within as a player. But that said, I heard his press conference on Friday. I listened to what he actually said in Spanish rather than the bumbling translation that was given in the conference. And it really impressed me, the manner in which he spoke. But, you know, having met the man, I wouldn't expect any less. He's very clear on what he wants to do.
Well, let's hope that Pochettino can start well tonight with Southampton. They take on Everton, obviously, tonight in the Monday night Premier League game. Joseph, though, a manic weekend in La Liga. Before we get on to Barcelona's loss on Saturday night, let's have a look at Real Madrid. And Angel Di Maria with a quite flawless game against Valencia. First and foremost, though, what happened to Valencia in those 10 minutes before half-time? Did Real Madrid raise their game, or did Valencia just crumble?
I think you have to put this, there's a bit of both, but I would put it much more squarely on the side of Real playing a fantastic game. I mean, it's so long since we've seen them play like this, you almost forgot that they had it in them. I mean, the performance, I'm not going to say this because I'm going to insult fans of a certain English team, so I'll leave that aside. But the performance the week before against Osasuna was one of the most horrendous displays of football I've ever seen. For a team with that amount of quality players, and I don't care about the players who were absent, to hit it long, aimless passing, a single shot on target in injury time. But we know they're capable of much better, and they showed that last night. They've shown this in the past against Valencia, if not on the opening day of this season. We've seen that Valencia is a team that they have actually routinely spanked in recent years, and you know, be it beating them 6-3 two seasons ago with a second string side, either side of two Champions League games. Valencia, I know they've changed managers a couple of times, but there's something about the mentality of the way Valencia play that makes them just the perfect prey for Real Madrid. And Valencia have their new coach, Ernesto Valverde, a man who was linked with the Barcelona job when Guardiola left. He also favours quite attacking football. He also favours high pressing. And he's also engineered a fantastic start at the club. I think they won seven of their first eight games under him in all competitions, which when you consider what went before is a pretty phenomenal turnaround. But, you know, catching Real Madrid on that kind of form, being the kind of team that they are, playing the kind of way that they like to play, I didn't quite foresee this trashing, but it's not exactly against the form book, let's put it that way.
Did you think Angel Di Maria's performance was inspired by those words that Mourinho had for him, saying that he felt that Di Maria played better when he was on less money at Real Madrid and really wanted to see a rise out of him? Was this the response that Mourinho was looking for, and was that the inspiration that brought it?
In three words, yes, yes, and yes. I think this situation with Di Maria's contract goes back to the earlier part of last season, And he was on relatively low money compared to a lot of the other players in the team. He arrived for a sizable fee, but let's say his contract was nowhere near. Never mind the ultra Galacticos in the squad. You know, he was one of the lower paid regular first team players. And he started last season fantastically up until, around the time of the first Clásico last season. For me, he was probably the standout player in the league. Then he had this whole issue at the time because he wanted a new contract. And the club said he was injured, but I'm not sure that he was injured all the time, but he certainly wasn't getting in the team. There was something going on in the background. But yes, then you have those words from Mourinho during the week. I think Mourinho's gotten a hell of a lot of things wrong recently in terms of his strategy vis-a-vis man management. Mm. But in this instance with Di Maria, it seems like he's engineered the kind of performance. And it's not just about the goals, because Di Maria's never been really about the goals. Di Maria's about beating a man, about putting a ball in, all about the dribble, all about the kind of direct attacking thrust that he gives to their counter-attacking game, which has been, you know, something that's been absent all season and the Real have suffered from. So if you're asking me, yes, I think what Mourinho had to say to him during the week, it certainly engineered the desired response.
Is this the kind of weekend in La Liga that brings back the title race questions once again? Is it really over? Madrid being so good, Atletico winning, and Barca stumbling as well. Do you think the title race is back on?
Barring an act of God, no.
No?
I think you have to look at the gap. It's too big. Atletico, of course, are that bit closer to them than to Barcelona than Real. But we're talking about such a sizable gap. Also, look, I mean, it's quite ironic that the Spanish are very obsessed with halves of the season. So, the order of fixtures in the first half of the season, once you get to the midway point, they start over and repeat again in the exact same fashion. So you had Barcelona absolutely fantastic in the first week, thrashing Sociedad. And now in the return section of the season, they managed to lose to Sociedad. But they finished the first half of the season with 18 wins and one draw, and that draw was against Real Madrid in what was, I would still say, Real Madrid's best performance of the season. I mean, it's going to take a hell of a lot to take this Barcelona juggernaut off the tracks. I would even go out on a limb and say that even an absence for, say, a number of weeks, maybe four or five games for Leo Messi, I think, well, maybe they might drop more points in that situation. I think they've got a huge cushion. I think they've got a team that are playing with supreme belief. I think it's going to be really, you know, Real were fantastic at the weekend. There's no getting around that, but they've left themselves with far too much to do there. I'll go on the record now and say there is no chance that Real Madrid are catching Barcelona this season. No chance. Ooh. And, we'll see if that comes back to haunt me.
I was going to say that could be one of those clips that we end up playing at the end of the season just before you come on the show, Joseph. Just lastly, one final question. I know we've taken up a lot of your time today, mate, but just one final question on that Barca loss to Real Sociedad. Sociedad were pulling their way back into this game when both sides had 11 men on the pitch. Gerard Piqué got his second yellow card after 56 minutes, but it wasn't a pristine Barcelona performance by any stretch. Is there anything to worry about at all on their own personal level of performances and taking that into the Champions League that's coming up?
I don't think so. I think it wasn't one of their better performances of the season. There's no getting around that. And as you said, Sociedad had got the goal back while Barca had the full complement of players. Barca's defence is more or less back at full strength, so they're not giving up their stupid goals, which is amazing. But had that stayed 11 against 11, I have a feeling that Barca would have found that extra gear and, probably won by a two-goal margin. I think I'm not going out on a limb to say that might have transpired. What did transpire, of course, was the sending off. And then you have, you have the whole situation with it. I mean, the irony of ironies, Mascherano is the player that was brought on as they tried to reorganise defensively. And, there was an unfortunate ricochet off him for the equaliser. But We were at 90 minutes plus 30 seconds, I think, when the winner went in for Sociedad. In the final 5-10 minutes, they pushed. But before that, I was sat watching the game with someone, not someone who doesn't have a clue about football, but someone who wasn't too interested. And they said, look at this. Can you tell me which team here has 10 men and which men has 11 men? As Barcelona moved the ball around, just, you know, stroking it from side to side, you know. At times, you wouldn't have known, but they got a bit sloppy towards the end. I noticed that they were hitting ambitious balls, diagonals to players who weren't there. There was something a little bit off about the performance with 11 men and, you know, having that drop to 10 men after Piqué's dismissal, you know, I think, you know, they were going to have to lose sooner or later, and it's just happened now. But, you know, they lost to Celtic earlier in the season. That didn't really seem to do them too much harm, did it?
Yeah, no, it's not exactly put them off their winning ways, that's for sure. Joseph, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today, mate, talking all things La Liga and, of course, getting into Mauricio Pochettino's in his move to Southampton. Best of luck in the next few weeks, mate, and we look forward to having you back on as soon as possible here on WFD.
Fantastic, guys. Talk to you again soon. Keep well.
Cheers, Joseph, mate. Joseph Sexton there joining us here on World Football Daily, kicking off the week with a look at the La Liga action. You can follow Joseph on Twitter, Joseph SBCN. That's Joseph SBCN, all lowercase, all one word, with, of course, the @ ahead of it in the typical Twitter fashion. Very interesting this weekend that Dani Alves was given another run out for Barcelona, and Tito Villanova sticking with Dani Alves as his right back despite all the rumours around his future and what it holds for him at the Camp Nou. But Barca did lose to Real Sociedad this weekend. They did concede three in that, two in the second half. Gonzalo Castro with two goals, one on 41 minutes, one on 62 minutes, and a fantastic performance by him. And then Emmanuel Aguirretxe. I'm terrible with names. I'm so sorry, people.
I wouldn't be able to say that one either, man. So
I was going to ask Raf if you fancied having to pop at it for me, but I can tell you're steering clear of that one, right?
Absolutely.
But grabbing the 90th minute winner to sink Barcelona's unbeaten La Liga dreams. Higuain getting on the score sheet, as well as two from Di Maria and two from Cristiano Ronaldo in a thumping game against Valencia. 10 minutes into the before half time, Real Madrid just struck them. It was ruthless, and it was fantastic to watch them being so ruthless, as we've seen them be in the past. And Atletico Madrid, of course, keeping a close eye on Barcelona and picking up a 2-0 win against Levante. Adrian and Koke scoring the goals in a Cavani-less side. Falcao-less side, pretty much. Had a very poor game. Falcao was brought off after 58 minutes. It was nowhere to be seen in that one. It was very surprising to see him out of love. But great for Atletico Madrid in terms of they have other players that they can rely on and that they can ask to score the goals and provide the goods for them in these sorts of situations. And Levante beaten away from home by Atletico to reduce that gap to just 8 points. It's still 8 points, though, in the La Liga title race. We're going to take a very quick break here on WFD. When we come back, we'll be finishing up the rest of the weekend's news with Rafa and myself. All that and more coming next on WFD.